Welcome to Deedon B College. In this lesson, we're building a trek-style beat in Ableton Live, starting from a single break and shaping it into something that feels tight, rolling, and dangerous in the mix. Trek-style drums sit in a really interesting place in drum and bass. They're not full jungle chaos, and they're not rigid, straight grid programming either. They live in that middle zone, where the groove feels broken, human, and slightly nervous, but still locked enough to drive a club system. That's why these beats work so well in darker rollers, stripped back intros, heavy second drops, and minimal dance-a-floor sections. They leave room for the bass, but they still give the track attitude. The goal here is simple. Take one break, chop it carefully, and build a drum loop that feels alive without getting messy. If you do this right, you'll end up with a loop that has a clear snare anchor, a little ghost note motion, some top-end texture, and enough control to sit under a proper DNB sub. Let's start with the source material. Load one break that has a strong snare and usable top-end detail. You do not need the perfect break. You need one with clear pieces you can cut up. If you're working on an audio track, loop a bar and zoom in. If you want the fastest beginner workflow, slice it to MIDI so each hit becomes playable. That makes it much easier to understand what's actually driving the groove. What to listen for here is really simple. You want a snare with enough body to anchor the loop, hats that have some natural movement rather than pure fizz, and a kick that is short enough to leave space for bass later. If the source break is already muddy, don't panic. We're going to shape it. Now build the backbone. In drum and bass, the snare is the identity of the groove. Put it on beats 2 and 4 first. That backbeat is your reference point, and everything else should support it. If the break gives you a clean snare, use that. If it needs help, quietly layer a second snare underneath to give it a more solid center. A simple stock chain for the snare bus is EQ8, drum bus, and saturator. Use EQ8 to clean up unnecessary low rumble. Use drum bus gently for weight and transient character. Then use saturator for a bit of density, but keep it subtle. If you start crushing it, the snare can turn papery or brittle fast. What to listen for is whether the snare still cuts through when the loop gets busy. It should feel confident, not overcooked. And if it sounds smaller once the bass comes in later, that usually means it needs a little more body around the low mid zone, not more distortion. Small moves matter here. Next, add the kick, but think of it as a groove cue rather than a giant weight source. Trek-style beats usually use the kick more like punctuation. A good starting point is a kick on the first beat, then maybe one supporting hit before the snare depending on the feel. You are not trying to fill every gap, you are trying to guide the motion. This is where tiny timing shifts can make a huge difference. In Ableton, you can nudge the kick a few milliseconds earlier to make the loop feel more eager, or a little later to make it feel heavier and more laid back. Keep it small. Around 5 to 15 milliseconds is often enough. You're shaping pocket, not fixing bad programming. Why this works in DNB is because the kick is not always the main event. When the bass line is heavy, the kick often works as a rhythmic marker that helps the snare feel larger and gives the whole groove forward motion without cluttering the low end. Now comes the part that really gives the beat its personality: ghost notes and chopped break fragments. This is the heart of the style. Take tiny pieces from the break, little hat ticks, soft snare ghosts, kick tails, or short percussion noises, and place them between the main hits. The goal is to create tension and motion without making the pattern feel crowded. A good first pass might be one ghost snare before the main backbeat, one small hat fragment after the snare, and one low-level break tick near the end of the bar. That's enough to start. Keep ghost notes lower in velocity. The main snare should stay strong, while ghost hits sit much quieter, so they feel more like movement than attention grabbers. What to listen for is whether the groove feels like it's rolling forward. It should feel alive, not like it's stumbling. If you can immediately identify every tiny edit, you may have overdone it. In this style, the best details are often the ones you feel more than you consciously hear. Nice and controlled. Once the pattern is there, shape the break fragments so the groove stays clear. Use EQ8 on the break layer if it's fighting the kick or the bass. High pass the low end if needed, and tame harsh top end if the hats start to get brittle. If the loop feels too thin, a small lift in the upper presence area can help the break crack through a little more. This is also a good moment to check mono compatibility. A lot of top end break texture can sound exciting in stereo, but if the center image falls apart in mono, the groove weakens fast. Use utility to narrow the width temporarily and see what disappears. In club music, especially drum and bass, mono compatibility matters more than people think. The drums have to hit even when the width collapses a bit. Now let's lightly glue the drum group together. Group the drums and use a gentle glue compressor, maybe a touch of drum bus, and utility if the width feels too wide. The key word here is gentle. You want cohesion, not destruction. If the loop already has push and space, stop there. That's important. A lot of beginner producers try to finish the drums by overprocessing them. They chase expensive and end up flattening the transient shape that actually makes the beat work. In Trek style patterns, the attitude comes from the edit, the timing, and the hierarchy, not from smashing the life out of the bus. Now test the loop with bass. Even if it's just a simple sub note or a placeholder DNB bass, this step tells you the truth. Solo lies. Arrangement tells the truth. If the kick vanishes when the sub arrives, or if the ghost notes get lost completely, you need to trim some low end from the break layer or make space in the bass rhythm. If the loop feels too empty once the bass is in, you may need a slightly stronger snare layer or one extra ghost hit to keep the phrase alive. What to listen for here is whether the snare still feels like the anchor when the bass is playing. That's the real test. If the loop survives contact with bass and still feels clear, you're in the right place. At this point, turn the idea into a phrase, not just a one-bar cycle. Trek-style beats work best when they evolve in small steps. Try 4 bars first. Keep bars 1 and 2 tight. In bar 3, add one extra ghost hit or a hat tick. In bar 4, strip one detail out so the phrase breathes a little. Then repeat with a small variation later on. That kind of subtle evolution is what makes the loop feel like a real track section instead of a loop pasted on repeat. If the bassline is already busy, keep the drums tighter. If the track needs tension, you can let the top end detail build a little more across the phrase. Keep the movement in service of the drop, not as decoration. Once the groove feels right, commit it to audio. That's a smart move in this style, because Trek-style edits often sound best when you stop tweaking and start arranging. Print the loop, consolidate it, and move forward. At some point, locking the timing is more valuable than endlessly refining the sounds. For a second drop, iteration, or a later phrase, do not rebuild the whole thing. Just change one or two things. Maybe remove the main kick for one bar and let the ghost hits carry the motion. Maybe add a doubled snare detail near the end of a phrase. Maybe swap in a slightly sharper hat fragment, or open a filter a touch on the break layer. Small changes can create big forward pressure. A good coaching rule here is this. If you can remove one top end detail and the groove still works, the detail was optional. Optional detail is great. Necessary detail is structural. Learn the difference early. That's how you keep the beat dangerous without making it cluttered. A few common mistakes show up again and again with this style. One is overfilling every gap with hits. If every 16th note is busy, the groove stops breathing and the bass has nowhere to land. Another is making the break louder than the snare, which weakens the backbone of a loop. Another is pushing saturation or drum bus so hard that the transient disappears. And of course, don't quantize everything to death. Trek-style groove depends on a slight push and pull. Keep the main snare locked, but let the ghosts breathe a little. If you want a darker, heavier result, protect the snare center and let the texture move around it. Keep one layer carrying the grit, not every layer. Use negative space. Sometimes removing a single hit before the snare makes the groove feel heavier than adding more sound ever could. That's a very drum and bass move, by the way. Bass can hit harder than density. Here's the bigger picture. Trek-style drums are about controlled broken rhythm, strong snare anchor, smart ghost notes, tight edits, and just enough human movement to keep the groove alive. When you build them in Ableton, the win comes from chopping carefully, processing lightly, and checking the drums in context with bass. If the loop feels alive, heavy, and clear in mono, you've done the job. So here's your challenge. Build one one-bar Trek-style drum loop using one break source and, at most, one extra snare layer. Keep the snare on 2 and 4. Add no more than 3 ghost hits. Make one mono check before you finish. Then save a cleaner version and a slightly looser or dirtier version, and compare how they behave with a bass line underneath. Take your time. Trust the hierarchy, and don't overfill the space. That's the move. Build the spine first, then add the danger around it. And when you've got that loop rolling, you'll know immediately that it belongs in a real DNB arrangement. Now go make it feel alive.